Hare Krishna.
Welcome to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Each and every Sunday, we aspire to come together in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to cleanse our hearts through hearing and chanting His glories in the company of His beloved devotees. Today we are very happy to welcome a very dear follower of Srila Prabhupada, Trinakarta Prabhu. He came to the movement in the early 70s. He was one of the prominent book distributors, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for many years in America. He also lived for several years in India, in Vrindavan, Calcutta, and other places. These were during the very early pioneering days of the Hare Krishna movement in India. And he has several very beautiful and sweet stories of his personal relationships with Srila Prabhupada. Let us welcome Trinakarta Prabhu very enthusiastically to Sri Radha Gopinath. First, I'd like him to speak some of his memories for a few minutes, and then whatever remaining time, I will speak something about the life of Sri Narottam Das Thakur.
Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, and their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So I'm very honored to be able to sit here by the mercy of my godbrother Radhanath Swami Maharaj and maybe speak some things about Srila Prabhupada. First of all, Prabhupada's books are the most important aspect that we have in our lives as devotees. We should make these books and the wisdom that Prabhupada has given us the foundation of our lives. Because with this solid foundation, and you can build very nicely your Krishna consciousness on top of it, and it will be very hard for it to be shaken, or for anybody to shake your Krishna consciousness. So many books are written by so many people. So many wonderful devotees actually have written so many nice books. But we should make Prabhupada's books our foundation. And then when we understand everything Srila Prabhupada is telling us, then other books we can read, and then we can understand and appreciate them even more. So, Maharaj wants me to speak some things about Srila Prabhupada. I feel unqualified to do so. But I feel also it is my duty, because I was fortunate enough to have had some small association with His Divine Grace. So I can first start off by saying Srila Prabhupada was the embodiment of pure devotion. He was so compassionate and loving that these qualities emanated from His very being. Simply by looking at you, just giving you one small glance, you feel many lifetimes of sinful activities destroyed. It's very incredible to have the pure devotee of Lord Krishna, most dear devotee, who came to this earth simply to reclaim all of us conditioned souls. To have Him in our presence, in our midst, looking at us, walking with us, talking to us, instructing us in so many different ways, taking care of us like little children, and we were little children, very, very, very much wanting Him to lead us and to guide us. So I can remember the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago. I was a brahmachari in the Chicago temple. And Prabhupada came to Chicago in 1974. And I remember it was United Airlines. And Chicago was one of the busiest airports in the world. It's very busy. Maybe not the biggest, but it's the busiest. So many people are always coming through. So when Srila Prabhupada came, there must have been also maybe 200-300 devotees, and a very, very uproarious kirtan, very powerful kirtan going on. And all of a sudden the doors open up from the gate, and there's Srila Prabhupada. And I will never forget the feeling that overtook my very being. I was completely in awe and reverence. The energy and the beauty and the majesty of Srila Prabhupada as He walked in. And we all hit the floor and paid our obeisances and got up, and there was Prabhupada again, and just glowing and so majestic and beautiful. So one devotee, Jagadish Prabhu, gave me an umbrella to hold over Srila Prabhupada's head to walk through the airport. And it was from his old Vyasa sign. We had made him a brand new Vyasa sign. So there was a big piece of pipe, a conduit that came and sort of bent very funny, and it went all the way down to the floor. So I was trying my best to keep it properly situated, but it happened to touch the back of Srila Prabhupada's foot as he was walking through the airport. And as this kirtan's going on, you can imagine with all these devotees jumping up and ecstatic, going crazy, Prabhupada stops and turns around and looks me right in the eye. I thought I was going to die at that point. And I was very, very afraid. And Prabhupada just looked, turned around, and kept walking. And so I felt relieved that I was still alive and walking in my body. So the procession went on, and Prabhupada got into his car. And everybody scurried to their different vehicles to get back to the temple faster than Prabhupada's car, so we can be there when he got there. So that same time, our temple in Chicago was an old YMCA building. It was a very beautiful temple. We converted the gymnasium into a temple room. And so for kirtan, the acoustics were very nice. The sound was very nice. Prabhupada actually commented, "This is the best kirtan hall." And the kirtans were very uproarious, very, very powerful. Anyways, we gave Srila Prabhupada the whole brahmachari ashram. All the brahmacharis moved out. And it was a very big ashram. It had two separate rooms, big bathroom, so many rooms. Srila Prabhupada had the back room. We had his seat in there and his desk and all his things in there. So the next day, after Srila Prabhupada was there, Sri Govindaji, he was the president of the Chicago Temple at the time, very nice, humble devotee, very sweet devotee. He asked me, he said, "Tranakarta Prabhu, please guard Srila Prabhupada's room." Don't let anybody in. He's writing letters. He doesn't want to be disturbed. Yes, Prabhuji, no problem. Hare Krishna. So I'm standing there guarding Prabhupada's room. All of a sudden the door opens up. Prabhupada walks out. I hit the ground, pay my obeisances. The Prabhupada walks into one room. I'm still on my knees. He comes back out to come back into his room. And he stops. He puts his hand on my head. And he held it there for a few seconds. And he said, Hare Krishna. And as he said that, my whole body became electrified. And heat just rushed through my body. It's very hard to describe in words how I was feeling. And Prabhupada would then walk back into his room. And I just couldn't believe what actually happened to me. So a minute later, Sri Govinda Prabhu came in to check on make sure everything was alright. And as he walked in the room, he looked at me. And he's staring at me. And he says, Tranakarta Prabhu, you are glowing. You're glowing. I said, I could barely even talk. I said, yes, Prabhupada just touched my head and said, Hare Krishna. And he's like, and it was like completely amazing. That was my second encounter with Srila Prabhupada. Very sweet. And all the kirtans and all the association with Prabhupada during that stay was so sweet and overwhelming. I always remember Prabhupada, how much that he loved the devotees. He always wanted to be with the devotees and be with his disciples. He was so proud of his disciples. So Prabhupada left and we kept on serving him, distributing in his books with enthusiasm. And the mercy we received from distributing his Divine Grace's books cannot be even described in words. It's impossible to describe it in words. Our hearts were just being over flooded with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So, the next time, also I got to go, at that time got to go on a few morning walks. Prabhupada would always walk along Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is a very big lake, part of the Great Lakes. It's almost like an ocean. So Prabhupada would walk, take morning walks. And one time in particular I remember, we were walking with Srila Prabhupada and he walked into the sand by the water and we all put down our chatters so he could sit down in a nice spot. And he was talking about the material scientists and how they're digging up bones out of the ground. Huh? They dig up these bones and then they look at the bones and they study the bones and they think they have conclusive evidence how life began. So Prabhupada began to dig in the sand with his hands. He said, they are digging, 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 just like the dog. So this is dog philosophy, Prabhupada. All the devotees were really liking this, so we were all laughing. So after this walk in particular, Prabhupada was in a very humorous mood that day. One man came up. He was riding a bicycle, and as Prabhupada was just getting ready to get into his car, a man came riding up on the bicycle and stopped right by Srila Prabhupada. And he said, hey, how come some of these guys are carrying sticks? Talking about the sannyasis. You have these big sticks. Why are these guys carrying sticks? And Prabhupada said, to chase away dogs. And as you can imagine, we all laughed just as you are laughing. It was very sweet. The next time Srila Prabhupada came to Chicago, that was the next time I saw him again after he left, was 1976. 2 years later, he came back again and blessed us. This time we had an apartment building for him, a nice room down the block from the temple. You might have heard a conversation in Chicago with Lieutenant Mosley. It's a very famous conversation. It's in the Science of Self-Realization. Also tapes. I was at that particular sitting. It was very sweet. So in 1976, I also was fortunate enough to go on many morning walks with Srila Prabhupada. Oh, also, when Prabhupada came through the airport, there were two baggage handlers who worked at O'Hare Airport. You know, the guys that picked the bags up and transferred them to airplanes, two workers, they worked at the airport. They were very big guys, and they were very obnoxious guys. They weren't very nice to the devotees. They were actually very offensive. And for years, we tried to make these two guys devotees. The women would go up and give them flowers and be nice to them, and they would just say all kinds of nasty things. We always, in so many ways, tried to be nice to them and make them devotees, and we could never get anywhere with these two guys. So Prabhupada came through the airport again. Big kirtan going on. I was at the airport, and we used to wear karmi clothes, you know, just regular shirts to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. So we decided, the Sankirtan devotees, that we would wear our regular, you know, karmi clothes that we distribute books in and go out so Srila Prabhupada could see us distributing his books, that he would become very happy. But there were so many devotees around Prabhupada in the kirtan in the airport that Srila Prabhupada couldn't see us. So we just joined the kirtan. And some devotees stuck a mridanga on me, and I was playing mridanga next to Prabhupada. It's actually a nice picture in the 1999 Vyas Puja book. You can see it. Anyway, Prabhupada's walking through the airport, and a couple of my godbrothers who were standing by these two, we'll call them demons, they were standing next to them just on purpose to make sure that they would not try to come near Srila Prabhupada. So as the procession comes with all the devotees chanting, uproarious kirtan, very powerful, all the devotees dancing, and these two guys are laughing at the devotees, when the Prabhupada walked by and they looked at Prabhupada, just by looking at him, their mouths dropped open. And one of them pointed at Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Look, he's golden, he's glowing." Just like that. And the procession kept going and Prabhupada went. And after that day, those men came out. They were always nice to the devotees. They would give us, if they found books in the airport, they would give them back to us instead of ripping them up. So for years, we tried to make them devotees. But just by seeing his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, they were transformed just by seeing him. So Prabhupada came back to the temple, and we went on morning walks again. I remember one in particular that was another funny episode, or actually a sweet episode. It was at the end of the walk, and one man came up to Prabhupada again. It's just as he was getting in his car, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, "What do you think about the second coming of Jesus Christ?" And Prabhupada looked at him very gravely and said, "Your Messiah has already come." Just like that. And that man came to the temple after that also. I'm not sure what happened to him after that, but he did come. And then on a next day on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, he was walking under a tree, and there was these little, very small but very beautiful flowers. Prabhupada reached up into the tree and picked one and put it behind his ear. And he was just standing there looking at us, and we're like, and he goes, "So we all started picking flowers and putting them in our ear." So all the devotees have flowers in their ear walking with Prabhupada. We fit in right with the era, the 60s and 70s, you know. We look very 60-ish. So Prabhupada left Chicago and he went to New York. It was New York Ratha Yatra. And I had been doing the airport and doing Sankirtan in the streets in Chicago for many years, and I wanted to go to India. So at that time there was a devotee named Chayavan Swami. He asked me, he said, "Why don't you come to Africa and preach with me? Help me preach in Africa, and then we can go to India after, sometime short, not too long after." I was like, "Jai Maharaj, let's go. I'm ready to go." So we wound up going to New York City, and I got to see Srila Prabhupada again there at Ratha Yatra. Very sweet. Prabhupada danced in front of the Ratha Yatra carts. It was very nice. And then Srila Prabhupada left New York, and I believe he went right to Vrindavan after that, July or August of 76. And what happened to me, I wound up going to London, actually, and preaching in London. The circumstances dictated that. I don't have to get into that whole story anyway. But I wound up going to Vrindavan in September. I remember the exact day I arrived, September 13th of 1976. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. I went to Vrindavan. And when I got there, I led a guru puja. I was playing mridanga. I could play mridanga okay. So I was playing mridanga. And the next morning, right after Mangal Arti, very early in the morning, Srila Prabhupada called me into his room. Actually, I was chanting my japa, and Hansa Duda Maharaj came up to me and he said, "Tranakarta, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you in his room." And I was like, "You're joking, right? It's a joke. Don't joke around." He said, "No, Prabhupada wants to see you in his room." I'm like, "Well, okay." So I go into Srila Prabhupada's room. I pay my obeisances. I get up. Prabhupada's looking at me. He says, "You are playing mridanga very nicely. Where have you learned these things?" And I said, "From tape Srila Prabhupada and playing in kirtan." I said, "But it's all your mercy." And he said, "Jai, Hare Krishna." He said, then he said something that I always will remember. It was very sweet. He said, "I remember you from America," like that. And I felt so much love and warmth. And Prabhupada said, "So you can play?" I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." And he sat down behind his harmonium and started to sing beautiful songs to Krishna. And somehow I was playing the mridanga. I don't know how, but it was playing by itself. I was simply watching Prabhupada. And after that in Vrindavan, Prabhupada actually, we were there for 4 months. And we used to travel out and do different programs and different villages. And it was very, very sweet and intimate because there weren't so many devotees, you know. It was very intimate and very, very, very sweet. And Prabhupada was always so, just so amazing, every aspect of him, you know. He knew everything. Just like one day he came out and we used to circumambulate Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, chanting our japa with Prabhupada. So one morning he came out and as we walked in front of the front door circumambulating, Prabhupada said, "Why is the front gate unlocked?" And you could not see the lock on the gate. It was a kind of chain that went around the gate and then the lock was like right there. But you couldn't tell it was unlocked. And actually, if you even got close and looked at it, it looked like it was locked. So one devotee ran over and sure enough, the lock was not locked. It was amazing. He knew everything. Or he would come out in the morning sometimes and he would say, "Why did the chowkidar not ring the bell at 1 o'clock? Because the chowkidar was supposed to ring the bell at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock. Or the next day come out, "Why did the chowkidar not ring the bell at 2 o'clock? So all these even little aspects of everything Prabhupada knew. It was incredible. So I remember we went on a program with Srila Prabhupada to Chandigarh. And we had a minibus. Yasodhananda Swami, myself, and a few other devotees, and we used to travel around and do programs in villages. It was very sweet preaching. But we knew Prabhupada was going to be in Chandigarh. Gaudiya Math actually invited him there to do a program. And Prabhupada went, so we drove up early. Srila Prabhupada flew up in an airplane. So it was a very beautiful program, and I remember when Srila Prabhupada got to the airport, we were already there waiting for him. There were thousands of people waiting for Prabhupada. And it took them like an hour to get out of the airport. They were putting garlands on them, we'd take them off, and they put more on them, take them off. And then Prabhupada went to the Gaudiya Math and preached, and they were so respectful. It was so sweet. You could hear a pin drop when Prabhupada was speaking, you know. And he was actually speaking, I believe, in Hindi. And just to hear Prabhupada speak, even though I couldn't understand everything, it was just so sweet, even though it was another language. You could still... would still make spiritual advancement just by sitting there hearing Prabhupada speak, you know. And then they served out a feast of 108 preparations. And I had two sannyasis making me eat so much, I could barely even move, so I just was sitting there after the feast. And Prabhupada had walked out of his room, and he looked at me, and he just sort of chuckled. As I was just sitting there intoxicated on prasadam. So then I went to, I wanted to distribute books for Prabhupada because it's always been in my heart. So actually it was end of December, early January of 76, 77. I decided to go to Calcutta and I would take Prabhupada's Gita Gan. It's a Bengali Bhagavad Gita. It's like this big, very sweet for distributing. You can take, put 100 or 150 of them in a backpack and take off and go to the train station. So I would distribute books like that for Prabhupada. And I actually just, you know, I had the authority of the temple president in Vrindavan to go. I said, I'm going to go distribute books. So I just went and did it. I never bothered through the Prabhupada. So a few days later, there's an announcement in Chicago, in the Calcutta temple. Srila Prabhupada's coming to Calcutta. Haribo! So Prabhupada came to Calcutta, and I remember we were all standing outside to greet him. And Prabhupada got out of his car, and this rain cloud came out of nowhere because the skies were pretty much blue and rained on Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada got out and said, oh, this is very auspicious, like that. And then he saw me and he walked right up to me and he looked right in my eyes and very sweetly he said, oh, so now you are here? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. And there's one devotee named Jai Sachinandana who sings very sweetly. His voice was just so beautiful. Like a Bengali demigod. Just so beautiful. It was, anyway, we just had bought these new mridangas also, so they were very nice sounding. And Prabhupada went upstairs and we led a very nice kirtan, very powerful kirtan. Prabhupada was enjoying it so much. The devotees were dancing and basically blew the roof off the temple. It was very powerful. So that evening, Jai Sachinandana Prabhu and myself, we went into Srila Prabhupada's room and we paid our obeisances and we got up. Prabhupada was sitting there with big eyes. And he said, your combined kirtan is very wonderful. Like that. That was another blessing from Srila Prabhupada, acknowledging like that. And one day, a few days later, Hari Sari was Prabhupada's personal servant at the time. He said, Tranakirtan, I need to go on the roof and do Srila Prabhupada's laundry. I need to hang his laundry. So please, if he rings his bell, go in and see what he wants. He has some guests in there. They just started eating, so he probably won't ring the bell, so don't worry. So Hari Sari goes on the roof, and about 5 seconds later, the bell rings. So I run in. Yes, you're the Prabhupada. The Prabhupada says, more puris for the guests. Yes, Prabhupada. So I run into the kitchen, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I need more puris for the guests. And the cooks were like, no more puris, we're all out. So I was sorry. And I'm like, what do you mean you're out? Prabhupada wants more puris. Please, give me some puris. Don't do this to me. I need puris right now. Please. And they said, no, Prabhu, we have no more puris. So like a fool I am, I went back into the room. You know, I should have made them myself or whatever, even though wasn't a very expert cook at the time. I should have done something. But like a fool, I went back into the room. And I come into the room and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry, there's no more puris. So you can imagine, Srila Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. And he started yelling, and I was like, oh my God. Now I'm really going to die. I'm finished. And the guests were like, no, Srila Prabhupada, it's okay. And Prabhupada said, no, this is not the point. When the guests come to the temple, there must always be prasadam. If they come at 1 o'clock in the morning, there should be prasadam. So I was like, oh my God. So indirectly, I was chastised by Srila Prabhupada. And actually, after that, Prabhupada had a letter. It's a famous letter. I actually have it in my Bhagavad Gita. It's a very famous letter that went out to all the temple presidents. It said there should always be two or three expert cooks on hand. And they should cook at least 20 preparations. I mean, enough prasadam for 20 people to take. Sabji, puris, rice and dal, Prabhupada mentioned a few different things. And he said, and then when that's finished, then they should cook enough for 20 more people. It should always be prasadam. And he said, it will never go to waste because you can distribute it or the devotees will eat it, no problem. So nothing will go to waste. So indirectly, I got that mercy from Srila Prabhupada. And then the next few months were... Actually, Prabhupada went to Jagannath Puri. At that time, his health was beginning to... It was not so good. So Prabhupada went to Jagannath Puri, and I stayed in Calcutta to distribute books, but I heard wonderful stories how Prabhupada was swimming in the ocean and laughing, and Chutananda was body surfing, and Prabhupada was laughing at him. I heard wonderful stories like that. And then Prabhupada came back and was in Mayapur, and it was very sweet in Mayapur, and all the devotees started to come. And actually, I was leading the kirtan in Calcutta. The first 747 airplane that ever landed in Calcutta airport was full of Vaishnavs. It was full of devotees. So I was leading the kirtan, and as devotees were coming off the plane, the kirtan was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden there was like 200-300 devotees in the kirtan in Calcutta airport. It was very powerful and very sweet. So I got to lead that first kirtan there. And so that's pretty much the extent of my association with Srila Prabhupada, personal association. But I can tell you honestly that the best association is Prabhupada's words. So many people had Prabhupada's association. Some of them I can think in my mind now, where are they? I don't know. So what is the most important? What is more important, the personal association or the words of the spiritual master? I think maybe they're both equally important, but the words of the spiritual master we should engrave within our hearts, because those we can carry with us forever. Srila Prabhupada not many times met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Maharaj, was it two times, three times maybe? I'm not sure.
A dozen times at the most.
Yeah. And look what Prabhupada did. Such limited association he had, but he took the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati within his heart. Made it his life's mission. Isn't it? To fulfill the desires of his Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came to the Western world at 70 years old and saved us. Prabhupada saved us from the most abominable, degraded life. Because in America, people want one thing only. They want to enjoy their senses and enjoy their body. Spiritual life is something that's very much in the back of their minds. So when I come to India, when I was coming here this time, I was so overjoyed. Even when I came into the airport 2 days ago, and I see the men with rifles and the police, and they're all, Hare Krishna, Hare Jai Shri Krishna. And I'm feeling so blissful that I'm finally home again. I'm somewhere where people are appreciating and loving Lord Shri Krishna and appreciating spiritual life. And it actually pains me to see when India is trying to follow America. Because Krishna will never allow India to become like America. Because he loves India. He loves this country so much. He will never allow it. So all I can say from the bottom of my heart is that you take to this Krishna consciousness movement and somehow push on this movement of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I look around at all these glowing faces, and this is the result of Krishna consciousness, that we become glowy. We become glowing personalities. We become blissful personalities. We become preachers for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Our lives become successful. We break the chain to this material world. And this is the goal of life, to love Krishna, to serve the devotees. We should always have a mentality of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, of the servant of Krishna. If we have any other mentality, then we will have some trouble in our devotional life. If we maintain the mentality that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and then we will make some tangible advancement. And we chant nice rounds. And when we recite the 10 offenses, we listen very carefully and we understand what they mean. And we serve the Guru, then we make serious advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because even though as exalted as Srila Prabhupada was, he was the most humble and meek person. This is the greatest example. As a pure devotee of the Lord has these qualities of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So all I can say to all of you is please carry on this movement of Srila Prabhupada. Try to distribute it to as many people as you can. Distribute it, his books. If you have those tendency to do that, it's very great because it's the greatest way to attain Srila Prabhupada's mercy by giving someone his books. He told us many times how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told him, sell the marble on the temple floors if you have to, but distribute these books. Write these books and distribute these books to the world. This is Prabhupada's mission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Tanakarta Prabhu. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada personally asked Tanakarta Prabhu to play Mridanga whenever he sang Jai Radha Madhav before Srimad Bhagavatam class. And one day, one of the senior most leaders, sannyasi and GVC, and also one of the most famous kirtan singers of our movement at the time, he took the Mridanga from Tanakarta to play with Srila Prabhupada during Radha Madhava. And Prabhupada looked at him angrily and pointed, give the Mridanga to Tanakarta. Srila Prabhupada ki. One of Srila Prabhupada's greatest ecstasies in life was to personally sing the songs composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Narottam Das Thakur. There are so many tapes where Srila Prabhupada is singing these bhajans in the solitude of his own inner love for Radha and Krishna. Sometimes we see photos of Prabhupada with earphones on his head and microphones all around him, where he would record these bhajans. Other times he would just be alone in his room singing, and a devotee would hear and come up with a little tape recorder to record. Srila Prabhupada told us that although the songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur have been written in very simple Bengali language that even common people can easily learn, the innermost esoteric truths of all the Vedas are contained and revealed in his poetry. In the early 1970s, Srila Prabhupada requested one of his very early disciples, Achyutananda Prabhu, to learn the Bengali language and especially to write a songbook with the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur with English translations for the welfare and benefit of all the devotees throughout the world. And whichever songs Srila Prabhupada personally sang and translated on tapes, Prabhupada's own personal translations are there in that songbook. And to this day, 30 years later, we are still using those songbooks and singing the glorious songs of Narottam Das Thakur. Every morning during Sri Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, we sing Sri Guru Charana Padma, which was written by Narottam Das Thakur, on Srila Prabhupada's order. He wanted to install within our hearts the importance of the proper worship of the spiritual master, and he considered the ecstatic expression of Narottam Das Thakur's love for his guru to be the standard by which we should all follow. Yesterday, being the full moon of the month of Magh, was the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. The lives and the teachings of the great Vaishnavas are the means by which Krishna reveals to the world his own heart. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. We become purified by following in the footsteps of great souls. Krishna actually enacts his own pastimes through his devotees. Krishna finds greater pleasure empowering his devotees and seeing them remembered and glorified than when those same forms of worship come to himself. So we only have a few minutes, but for the purification of our hearts and to gain a deeper appreciation of the great heritage of spiritual masters that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has connected us to, we will try to speak something. Narottam Das Thakur is considered by the Vaishnava Acharyas to be the very personification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. Also, the very embodiment of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's compassion to the fallen souls. Lord Chaitanya longed to go to Vrindavan for so many years. On his first attempt, he especially went by the road that passed through the town of Ramakeli. He had two particular purposes of going to Ramakeli. One was to meet with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, relieve them of their distress, and induce them to surrender their lives to his mission. After meeting Rupa and Sanatan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Ramkeli and also to Kanai Natashala. While he was in that area, he started looking in the eastern direction. Tears flowed profusely from his eyes in divine love. His limbs trembled. He cried out very loudly, "O Narottam, O Narottam." Then he began to dance in ecstasy. The devotees were wondering, who is this personality that the Lord is calling for? Nityananda Prabhu inquired. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu explained that in the near future, one of my personal associates will take birth in this world, in the village of Keturigram, near the banks of the Padma River. His name will be Narottam. I am going to Nilachala, Jagannath Puri. There I will reside. But the time will come when I will put a close to my earthly pastimes. To the people of Bengal, who are so dear to me, and to the people of the world, I have given my love to you, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, to distribute profusely. But soon you will also return to the spiritual world. Therefore, I want to entrust the full extent of my ecstatic love of Krishna into the heart of Narottam Das. I will enter into the Padma River.
I will deposit my ecstasies. And at the right time, you, Nityananda Prabhu, should direct Narottam Das to come here to collect it. The devotees were singing a very sweet kirtan. As the kirtan was going, Lord Chaitanya entered into the river Padma. Because of his love, the flow of the Padma River stopped, became completely stagnant. The personified deity of the Padma River did not want to move forward. She wanted to be right there, worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And due to his ecstatic love, the river overflowed. The whole village close by became a massive flood. People were bewildered. It was not the rainy season. In fact, there was not even a drop of rain falling from the sky. How is it that the river is flooding? That time, the goddess of the Padma River approached Lord Chaitanya with folded hands. And he told her that I am entrusting in your care my supreme love. And Narottam will come here, and you should deliver it to him, and he will spread it to the people in general without discrimination. She asked, how will I know who this Narottam is? He said, when he enters your water, by my mercy, you will flood just like this. Then he came out of the waters, and the river became normal. Nityananda Prabhu explained this to all the devotees, and this became one of the very, very transcendental topics discussed by all Lord Chaitanya's followers in all places, that Mahaprabhu has decided to deliver his love to Narottam. So the devotees of Mahaprabhu were simply waiting for this Narottam to appear. Just about the same time that Lord Chaitanya disappeared from this world, Narottam Das Thakur took his birth. In Keturi Gram, there was a very wealthy landowner. His name was Krishnananda Dutt. And he had a very chaste, faithful, and devoted wife named Narayani. In those days, if you were really a wealthy landowner, you had actual full authority over your property. And if it was a big estate, you were considered to be like a king. Krishnananda Dutt was from the Kayasta community. Kayastas by caste are considered by some to be Shudras and by others to be Kshatriyas. When Narayani was pregnant with a child within her embryo, she actually told her husband that I had a dream. I had a dream before this conception that the most beautiful personality came out of your body and entered into my womb. So the father was thinking, this is very auspicious. They consulted a top-class astrologer. And he explained that the child within your wife's womb, he will take birth on the auspicious occasion of the full moon of the month of Magh. He is the Lord's own personal associate, and he will relieve the suffering of anyone he comes in contact with.
when Narottam was born, also the astrologer said you should name him Narottam because he will be the greatest of all persons. When he was born, it was such an auspicious occasion that thousands and thousands of people came to the king's residence just to offer their congratulations. And everyone, when they saw the beautiful qualities of this little baby, they were struck with wonder. He charmed the hearts of all. When he was about 6 months old, in Bengal, you know, it is a tradition that the giving of the first grains is a very, very big festival. It's a samskara that's taken most seriously. So all the most distinguished people of the village were there. Brahmins were chanting mantras. There were instruments playing. Everyone was so full of joy. Then the culmination of the festival, the child was going to take his first grains. They tried to put it in the child's mouth, but little Narottam rejected each time. No matter what they did, he just rejected those grains. This was really an embarrassment and was also very frightening. They'd never seen a child so adamantly opposed. He's only 6 months old. He was just pushing the grains away, clenching his mouth closed. They were thinking, the most auspicious occasion has become the most inauspicious. What to do? Then one very saintly astrologer, he said, I understand what's happening. This child's a great Vaishnav. He will not eat anything unless it's Mahaprasad. Offer the grains to Krishna. Krishnananda Dutt immediately offered the grains to his Shalagram Shila. He came back, and little Narottam ate all the grains. He just put them right in his mouth, very happily. So father understood this is not an ordinary child. He vowed, no one should ever give my child anything but pure Krishna prasad. When he was very young and he took to his studies, he showed himself to be literally a genius. Any particular subject matter that they taught him, he would master it practically immediately. However, there was only one subject that interested him. He could master any subject, but he wasn't interested in any of them. There was only one subject that interested him. Each day, there was an old Brahmin living in Kethuri Gram. His name was Krishna Das. He was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And just like today, Chanakarta Prabhu was telling us his personal experiences of Srila Prabhupada's mercy to him and to his devotees, Krishna Das would narrate for hours and hours of day to little Narottam the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And Narottam was so very much eager to hear. And there's nothing that inspires a preacher than to find someone who's eager to hear. And conversely, nothing depresses a preacher than more than when people are falling asleep. So he was so eager, and Krishna Das was so anxious to speak. He told him the whole life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all details. And he understood that the pastimes of the Lord's devotees are the same as the pastimes of the Lord himself. He explained the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit, the pastimes of Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
He described in great detail one personality of the name Srinivas, who never got to see Lord Chaitanya. His father was a personal associate of the Lord who was there when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And he was always hearing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just by hearing, he developed ecstatic love. When he became a little older, his life's only expectation was to be fulfilled. He was going to go to Jagannath Puri and meet Lord Chaitanya. But when he just came to the outskirts of the holy Dham of Puri, he heard the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. He was about to die. He was about to enter fire. What is the use of my life? But Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him, you should go to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. To Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu. He met Gadadhar, but then soon Gadadhar Pandit left and sent him to Vrindavan to meet Rupan Sanatan. He went to Vrindavan to meet Rupan Sanatan, but then he heard that he was hearing all these stories. And Narottam was thinking, when will that day be when I can have the association of Srinivas? He worshipped the devotees of the Lord just as he worshipped the Lord. This is the power of transcendental sound vibration. Actually, by hearing the pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, you are in the association of Narottam Das Thakur. And the same love and ecstatic reverence that we can have in his company can be awakened if we attentively hear the narration of his life. He was developing such intense feelings of longings just to be with these devotees and to serve them. He had utterly no interest in anything of this material world. The idea of sense gratification simply did not exist in his mind. He was too busy longing in separation to be with Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. When he was about 12 years old, his parents were becoming very worried about him. So they were thinking, the solution, we must get him married fast. Because he's becoming too detached. He was the only son. So they were discussing with him about marriage. And he was just too busy weeping and crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya to even hear these things. So one day, actually, he couldn't even sleep at nights. But one night, he did fall asleep. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream. He said, first thing tomorrow morning, you should go to the banks of the holy river Padma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has deposited his ecstatic love, and he wants you to accept it. So Narottam, 12-year-old child, he woke up the next morning, all alone, without telling anything to anyone. He went to the Padma River. He offered his obeisances. Then he entered. When he entered the river overflooded. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared from the river Padma in his beautiful golden divine form. And he embraced Narottam. In that embrace, he invested within Narottam Thakur's heart the ecstatic love of his own heart. Narottam had a dark complexion, but at that moment, his complexion became shining molten gold. He came out of the river and sat on the banks, and all he could do was cry in ecstatic love. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, his parents went to his room to wake him up, and he was gone. They were looking everywhere and anywhere. They were thinking, maybe he escaped. Maybe he's left us. Searching, searching, searching. Finally, they found him with a different complexion. Sitting on the banks of the Padma, crying like a lovesick person. They said, please come home. He said, my home is Vrindavan. Send me there. No, you must come home. So somehow they took him home. But all he could do from that point on was do Harinam Sankirtan. He would go to his father's little temple room and he would just chant and dance practically all day. His parents were really becoming worried. Then they decided, we have to fix this marriage fast. Meanwhile, Narottam was so busy talking about going to Vrindavan that his parents literally put guards all around him so he could not leave home. But by the arrangement of the Lord, the king of the whole province, who was a Yavana, he heard about the incredible ecstasies of this little child. He also heard about his genius scholarship. So he personally sent an order to Krishnananda Dutt that I want you to bring your son into my presence so I can give him awards. And I also want his blessings. So the father was thinking, this is very dangerous. If we let him out of the house, we don't know if he'll ever return. But at the same time, it is the order of the king. So the king sent a procession to take him. And Krishnananda Dutt ordered several guards to accompany him. But Narottam saw, he was just waiting for that split second where he could escape. Just before this happened, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and told him that I cannot bear seeing you suffering separation like this any longer. And I cannot bear separation from you any longer. You should come to Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna.
So Narottam somehow got away from this procession and started wandering through the jungles all alone, praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him the direction by which he can find Vrindavan. For 3-4 days, he did not eat, he did not drink. Every now and then, he would just sleep under a tree in the middle of the forest. But he was walking and walking and walking, and he had no shoes. There was blisterous, painful boils covering his feet. It was very, very painful. But in anticipation of reaching Vrindavan, he would just keep walking. And the condition of his feet was getting worse and worse. And there was no food to eat. One day, a beautiful Brahmin
with a complexion like molten gold, appeared before Narottam Das Thakur and gave him a pot of milk to drink. Narottam Das was so exhausted that he just fell asleep without even drinking it. But in his dream, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami appeared to him and identified who they were. And they told him, "Do you know who that Brahmin was who gave you that milk? That was our worshipable Lord, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And the milk he gave you will relieve you of all your sufferings and give you all the strength to reach Vrindavan. So drink the milk." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a great mission. He wants you to learn all the books that we have written and distribute that knowledge and distribute the congregational chanting of the holy names to the world. After drinking that milk, he became full of transcendental energy and continued his journey to Vrindavan. He first came to Mathura. He took his bath in Jamuna at Vishram Ghat. He went to the Janmastham to have darshan. While there, of course, he already heard the news that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami had left this world. He was just feeling such transcendental happiness. And at the same time, the pangs of such sadness that Lord Chaitanya had left the world, Rupa and Sanatana had left the world, Nityananda Prabhu had left the world, all these great associates have left the world. He was writing songs that, why did I have to take birth now? How unfortunate. What sinful past I must have had. What is the use of my life? Who wants to live in this period of history? A Brahmin saw him and helped him to go to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Lokanath Goswami and told him that this Narottam is coming. I gave him my love in the Padma River, and I also gave him the instruction that he should take initiation from you. He's coming tomorrow. He also appeared to Jiva Goswami to tell him the same. The devotees were so much longing to meet this Narottam. For years and years and years, ever since Lord Chaitanya said his name at Ramkeli. So, when the news came that Narottam has entered into Radha Govindaji's temple, Jiva Goswami immediately came running to that place. And Narottam Das Thakur was just sitting in a corner of the temple, weeping and crying in love after seeing the beautiful form of Radha Govinda. Jiva Goswami picked him up and brought him back to his own place. He brought him to the temple of Radha Vinod, where Lokanath Goswami was performing his worship. Lokanath Goswami was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was so humble that even though he was one of the senior most Vaishnavas in realization as well as association with the Lord, he vowed he would never take a disciple because he considered all of the other Goswamis so much more qualified than him.
Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami to be the first of his associates to go to Vrindavan. After Rupa and Sanatan Goswami left this world, Lokanath Goswami was simply crying in separation from the Lord and his innermost confidential devotees. But when Narottam Das came, great joy entered into the heart of Lokanath Goswami. He offered him at the lotus feet of Radha Vinod and said, "Please, have prasad with me." Narottam Das Thakur said, after offering his obeisances, he said, "I cannot have prasad with you. I'm not even a Vaishnav. I don't even have a spiritual master. How can I take prasad with you? It is my heart's longing that you accept me as your disciple and give me initiation." Lokanath Goswami said, "You are such a learned scholar. You're the son of a king. Not only that, you already told me your life story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally embraced you and gave you his own ecstatic love. He's appeared to you several times and instructed you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Jagat Guru. He's the supreme guru of all gurus. He's already given you instruction. He's already given you his mercy. You don't need any other gurus." Narottam Das Thakur said, "No, no. I am most fallen. No doubt the Lord gave me special mercy. But unless I have continual guidance, I will certainly fall from the path of bhakti. And besides, the Lord instructed me that I must be your humble servant." He spoke with such sincerity. Lokanath Goswami couldn't refuse, but he didn't want to do it. So he told him, according to the Shastra, for minimum 1 year, one must sincerely, attentively regulate his life around chanting the holy names before he's allowed to take initiation. And he must perform very menial services. Narottam Das Thakur, he was chanting the holy names very intensely according to Lokanath Goswami's instruction. And the only food he would eat was the Maha Maha Prasad of Lokanath Goswami. He would clean the kutir of his guru. He would massage the feet of his guru. He would do all little things. But it was always difficult because Lokanath Goswami never liked to accept service from anyone. There was one particular service he did that no one knew except the Lord in his heart. Early every morning, Lokanath Das Goswami would go to the Jamuna to bathe. But before that, he would respond to the calls of nature in a little section of the forest of Vrindavan near the Jamuna. Narottam Das Thakur, in the middle of the night, he would go to that place with a little broom and sweep it perfectly clean, and sprinkle water to make it fresh, and fill a little container with water, and bring very nice soft dirt, because in those days they didn't use soap, they used dirt. We use soap to take the dirt off. And they use dirt to clean themselves. That is Vedic culture. Hare Krishna. So, because the dirt has a very natural, even today, people who are studying natural sciences, natural medicines, they're making soaps out of dirt. One of the most expensive soaps in the world is simply dirt, mud. Because it actually, its abrasive quality cleans you, and it has minerals that actually nourishes you. And then when you wash it off, you become like a new person, physically.
Hare Krishna. So Narottam Das did this service with great humility.
And every day Lokanath Goswami would look and see that everything's so clean, so fresh, and everything's arranged. He was astonished. Who is doing this? It went on for one full year, every single day without fail.
Srila Lokanath Goswami decided, I have to find out who is doing this. It's not right for people to be serving me like this. So one night, he hid in the bushes. And there he saw Narottam Das with a little broom in his hand, very, very attentively, lovingly sweeping the area. Lokanath Goswami was astounded. He came out of the bushes. He said, Narottam, what are you doing?
You are a prince. You are coming from a family of wealth and royalty. You are a great scholar. You are a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are you doing? Cleaning stool and urine from the ground. Why?
Narottam, with great humility, was holding his little broom to his chest. He said, my Lord, I have renounced all of the flickering illusory forms of wealth of this world to attain this ultimate treasure in all creation, the opportunity to render menial service to a Vaishnava. He spoke with such sincerity and humility that Lokanath Das Goswami's heart melted. And then he decided that he would initiate Narottam Das Thakur. He gave him the Gayatri, Kam Gayatri mantra. He also gave him Radha Krishna mantra. And he instructed him for many days. He told him the essence of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's transcendental teachings. That the essence of spiritual life is to become completely attached to the chanting of Harinam. This is the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to the world. And a real disciple is one who obeys this instruction especially. You must use Japa Mala. You must regularly count the names that you chant each and every day. And you should put your heart and soul in your chanting. You should not, when you are chanting the japa of the holy name, you should not concern yourself with anything else except the darshan that the name is giving. But in order to chant in this attentive spirit, you have to humbly serve the Vaishnavas. Lokanath Goswami told Narottam Das Thakur, you should never consider yourself better than any other Vaishnava. You shouldn't consider scholarship. You shouldn't consider caste. You shouldn't consider position. You should consider yourself to be inferior servant of every devotee. You should bow your head and offer obeisances to all Vaishnavas. And you should be eager to serve them
as the greatest treasure of your life. It is this principle of humble service that is the essence of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By serving Vaishnavas, in this spirit, by honor and respecting all, and by very strictly and attentively chanting the holy names, Mahaprabhu's mercy will reveal everything to you. Later on, he saw the exalted qualities of Narottam Das Thakur's humility and how he was chanting. It was something extraordinary. So he explained to him how to personally meditate on the transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan. This is a very advanced instruction that sometimes the spiritual master gives to very, very advanced, spontaneously attracted devotees. One day, in a dream, a beautiful young girl appeared to Narottam Das Thakur and told him that in Vrindavan, Champak Lata Sakhi is in charge of making milk preparations for Radha and Krishna. You should, in your meditation, boil the milk for her. So Narottam Das Thakur went to his Guru Maharaj, Lokanath Goswami, and said, I had this dream, what should I do? He said, that was Radharani. She wants you to boil the milk, so you should boil the milk. Hare Krishna. So Narottam Das Thakur, in humble obedience to his guru's instruction, he would meditate, and how he would go out into the forest and collect the wood. Then he would, whatever way it was in those days, to start the fire. Then he would put the pot on the wood, and he was boiling the milk. But as the milk was boiling, the wood was getting lower. So he went to get a little more wood. But while he was away, the milk started boiling over. And the gopi associates were saying, the milk's boiling over. So he came running. And with his bare hands, he took the milk pot to take it off the fire. But when he did this, in his body of a gopi, his hands got scorched by the heat of the pot. However, he didn't feel any pain because he was just so excited to do the service. But when he came out of his meditation, his hands were burnt. Now, he didn't want to tell anyone about this, so he was hiding his hands. And he went before his spiritual master, and his spiritual master said, let me see your hands. So he told him what happened. His Guru Maharaj was very happy, very, very happy. This was the exalted state of consciousness of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. After Lokanath Goswami spent many months training him, teaching him, engaging him in so many various humble services, then he ordered Narottam Das Thakur to study the Goswami's literatures under the care and direction of Srila Jiva Goswami. It was there that Narottam Das Thakur became very, very best friends with that hero that he worshipped in his heart of hearts, Srinivasacharya. When they first met, how they embraced, they became like one soul in two bodies.
That is the love that they had together. And shortly after that, Shamananda Prabhu, the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, also entered into the school of Jiva Goswami. These three personalities, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda Pandit, became so very, very, very illustrious in their devotional qualities that all the devotees of Vrindavan simply loved them and respected them. Of all the students of Jiva Goswami, they were the most special. They lived together for several years in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jiva Goswami would send them to visit all the various forests of Vrindavan. They would meet Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund. Raghunath Das was thinking, one day he was sitting on the banks of Radhakund thinking that Lord Chaitanya promised us that some Narottam will come. When will this Narottam come? And right when he was thinking like that, Narottam Das Thakur appeared and offered his obeisances to him. He embraced him and gave him all of his blessings. He met Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Then it was the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Janava Devi that he was to, along with his two associates, bring the books of the Goswamis to Bengal, to have them printed, copies, and distributed. Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda Pandit, they got these titles from Jiva Goswami. Srinivas became Srinivas Acharya. Narottam became Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. And Duki Krishna became Shamananda Pandit. So they were sent with a cart and oxen and 10 Vrijavasis to bring the books, the only copies of the books in the whole world. First they went to Mathura, then they went to Agra, then they went through so many forests, and finally, even after getting through Bihar and all these other areas, they entered into Bengal. And just close to the kingdom of Ban Vishnupuram, the king Birambir, who was the leader of dacoits, had all the books stolen when they were sleeping. When they woke up, they failed in their mission. Everything ever written by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was gone. And they were gone. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he finished Chaitanya Charitamrita. The only copy was gone. He was in his late 90s. He couldn't write it again. So many literatures, hundreds and thousands of slokas written by Jiva Goswami, gone. They were fainting, they were wailing, they were crying, they were just looking everywhere, they were frantic. Where are the books? Where are the books? For hours, they were nowhere to be seen. They didn't know whether they should live or die. How are they going to explain to Jiva Goswami that all the books of all the Goswamis are stolen? But they sent the message. But then a voice came from the sky and said, "You will get the books back." Hare Krishna. So Srinivas Acharya told them, "I will stay here and look for the books. You should go to your homelands to preach." So Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu, they went. At first, they were just so mad in anxiety that they didn't know where they were going. They were just wandering aimlessly. But then somehow or other, they returned to Kethuri-gram, where Narottam Das Thakur's cousin brother named Santosh Dutt was now the king of that area. Soon after this, a message came from Srinivasacharya. I found the books. A king stole them, but he surrendered and I gave him initiation, and now the whole kingdom is Vaishnavas. Sometimes before something great happens, Krishna arranges a test. It is said, the darkest moment comes before the sun rises. When it's dark at night, it keeps getting darker, 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 darker till the sun makes its appearance. Similarly, Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. He had troubles in Bombay. Then he had more troubles in Jaladutta. Then he had even most troubles in New York City. Come about. When it appears that everything we're doing is a failure, but we're sincere and dedicated to go on our mission, we should know that that failure is actually a sign from Krishna that something glorious may be coming about very soon. It's a fact. Krishna appeared after all the horrible persecutions of Kamsa. Rama appeared after all the horrible things that Ravana had done. Whenever the world is in its worst condition, that's when Krishna appears. So sometimes he likes to put his devotees in the most horrible condition of apparent failure and frustration before he awards them with his empowered success. So this is something we could learn very nicely from this incredible story. In fact, for those of you who know the history, that's how Radha Gopinath Temple was established. Hare Krishna. So, Narottam Das Thakur performed so many wonderful pastimes of preaching in Bengal. We're running out of time. I'll speak for a couple more minutes. He decided to travel after he met his cousin and all of his old friends and from Kethuri-gram. He was just preaching to them and teaching them Harinam. And they were so much enthused to hear him that they all became his initiated disciples. One's name was Devidas, and he became the most expert mridanga player. Another was Gokul Das, and he just could sing so sweetly, practically, just like Narottam Das Thakur himself. And Santosh Dutt, although he had so much funds, he just wanted to use every single paisa in his kingdom for the purpose of assisting Narottam Das Thakur in his mission of serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So, after establishing Krishna consciousness there, Narottam Das wanted to visit the holy places of Lord Chaitanya. He went to Navadvip. When he arrived in Navadvip, he saw that everybody was just crying because Lord Chaitanya had left the world. On the banks of the Ganges, he came across Suklambar Brahmachari. He said, "Oh, you must be Narottam. We've been waiting for you. We're only living with the promise that Lord Chaitanya would send you." He took him all around to meet all of the associates, the brothers of Srivas Thakur, and many others. They gave him a tour of all the 9 islands of Navadvip. Then, from Navadvip, he went to Srikanda, where he met Narahari Sarakar and Raghunandan Thakur, and they brought him before their special deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had beautiful kirtan day and night. He went to Kardaha, and there he met Janava Devi and Vashuddha Devi, the 2 consorts of Nityananda Prabhu. And they were so pleased, they just showed him so much affection and love, just like a mother for a child. They told him, you should quickly go to Jagannath Puri. The devotees are dying in separation there. They're waiting for you to come. He went to Puri. In Puri, he stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya. They took him before Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. He saw the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. He worshipped with great love the deity of Tota Gopinath. Remembering all these associates of the Lord just filled his heart with love and separation. One day when he was resting in the house of Gopinath Acharya, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had the most incredible vision. He saw Rath Yatra in front of Jagannath's cart. There was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, dancing in ecstasy. He saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Murari Gupta, Gangadas Pandit, Haridas Thakur. He saw Paramananda Puri, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Govinda, Kashishwar Pandit, Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all dancing in ecstasy together. In the midst of the kirtan, he saw Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, his own Gurudev, Lokanath Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, all dancing in ecstasy. He saw all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, from South India, from Vrindavan, from Bengal, from Jagannath Puri. There were thousands and thousands and thousands. Everyone he ever heard about, everyone he worshipped in his heart of hearts, they were all right in front of him, dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy name. And the dream disappeared. And he was crying, why was I born now? The devotees, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that dream, personally embraced him. In fact, in the dream, he went and took the dust of the feet of all the devotees, and they were all embracing him. And each one of them was telling him, go to Bengal and preach. Hare Krishna. So he got up and said, I have to go to Bengal and preach. So Gopinath Acharya said, yes, you must go to Bengal. Whenever he would come, there was joy, and whenever he would have to leave, there was always great tears of the pain of separation. So after taking the blessings of Lord Jagannath, he returned. He went through Ekachakra. When he got to the outskirts of Ekachakra, Nityananda Prabhu personally disguised himself as an old Brahmin. And he was just sitting on the side of the road. And Narottam Das asked, is this Ekachakra? He said, yes, yes, this is Ekachakra. Said, would you like me to show you around? And Narottam said, please, can you show me? Do you know the places of Nityananda's Leela? He said, yes, I know the places. I've been here for a long time. They were going through fields. He said, this is where Nitai would herd the cows with his friends. This is the tree that he brought together. They were two trees and he made them into one just so that they could jump from one branch to another in their play. And these are the places where he performed his Leela. This is where he did Krishna Leela. This is where he did Ram Leela. And he brought him closer. This is Padmavati Kund, where Mother Padmavati would give him bath every day. And they would play so many water sports here. And if you come here, you will see the house of Hadai Pandit. And here's the Garbhasan, where Lord Nityananda took his birth on the 13th day in the month of Magh. And this is the place where that sannyasi came and begged for the alms of Nityananda. And you see this tree right here? This is where Padmavati was weeping and weeping incessantly upon hearing the news that her son was going to leave him, her. And this is the road that sannyasi took little 12-year-old Nitai away. And it's the same road that every single person, man, woman, and child from Ekachakra came running down the road searching for this sannyasi, begging him that we'll give you everything. We'll give you our children. We'll give you our wealth. We'll give you our lives. But just bring back Nitai. But they never found him. And in this place, Hadai Pandit for 3 months simply cried. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he couldn't even drink a drop of water. He was sustained simply by the thought of Nityananda Prabhu. And this is the place where he gave up his body and went back to the spiritual world. For days, Narottam Das Thakur was going on tour with this Brahmin. And one night, he fell asleep. And then the Brahmin revealed himself to be Nityananda Prabhu himself. But by that time, he had disappeared. And Narottam was looking everywhere for the Brahmin. But he was gone. Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him on his way to Kardaha. And told him that I'm living in a godown which is filled with snakes. But have no fear. You should come and you should get me. I'm in a beautiful deity form and you should install me and you should install 5 other deities of Radha and Krishna along with me. So Narottam Das Thakur, when he came to Kardaha, he was asking around, do you know of a godown where grains are stored that's infested with thousands of poisonous snakes? And everyone in Kardaha knew exactly where it was. But you cannot go there. So Narottam just walked and he saw the godown. He just started walking right into it. And the owner of that property came out and grabbed Narottam. What are you doing? He said, I'm going in. No, you're not going in. Yes, no. There are snakes in there. He said, I've brought every expert snake charmer and snake exorcist and whatever else there is to get those snakes out. But every time they do their mantras or anything else, the snakes just become more angry and more start coming in. You'll die. I've just given up all hope that that anything in that godown will ever be used again. Narottam Das Thakur laughed. He said, it is my Lord's instruction that he's living in there, and I must go in. You have no fear. You mark my word,
As soon as I enter into that, all the snakes will leave and never come back. So Narottam Das just smilingly, in the bliss of wanting to serve the Lord of his heart, just entered right into the godown. And as soon as he came, as soon as he approached it, thousands of venomous snakes just started slithering away into the forest. As soon as he went in, the people were astounded. And he came out seconds later with this illustrious murti of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his consort Vishnupriya. Santosh Dutt built a beautiful temple for them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Narottam Das Thakur that he wants a big, big festival to install those deities. Narottam met with Srinivasacharya after a long time, and they decided the festival should be on Gaur Purnima, the full moon night of the month of Phalgun. Up until this time, there had never been a Gaur Purnima festival in honor of the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They decided to invite all the devotees. They made invitations. Thousands of devotees came. Whatever surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya from all the different countries around went on their procession to Ketarigram. This is the most wonderful story. Janava Devi, she was in her procession. So many of the personal devotees of Nityananda Prabhu were coming. From Puri, so many devotees came. And Santosh Dutt built very nice housing arrangements for every devotee. And he built big warehouses filled with bhoga to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people each day. He also built boats to carry all the devotees across the Padma River. As each contingency of Vaishnavas were arriving, there was great festivities. Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Prabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, all of their disciples, they specifically assigned to personally take charge of serving the great devotee guests that were coming. I wish we had several hours to discuss the type of Vaishnav hospitality that was revealed in this festival. In every possible way, every single need and want of every devotee was personally attended to with such love, humility, and affection. The devotees were so pleased. And then came the day of the installation. Srinivasacharya performed the installation ceremony for Gornitai and five other sets of deities that Narottam Das Thakur had carved on the instructions of the Lord. After the installation was complete, Narottam Das Thakur began to sing very sweet kirtan, very slow, with just a few little instruments playing. He sang with such devotion, everyone's hearts were charmed. In fact, even the Gandharvas in the heavens were listening carefully
trying to learn how to sing like him. When Narottam Das Thakur sang, the love that was expressed from the core of his heart in such sweet and melodious melodies not only melted the hearts of all the Vaishnavas, but even dacoits, heretics, and atheists who came just out of curiosity, they were rolling on the ground crying in love of Krishna. The kirtan was building up and building up. The mridangas were playing. The karatals were going. Do you know what they would do before the kirtan? They would do puja for the mridangas and karatals. They would offer garlands and sandalwood paste and obeisances to all the instruments of the Lord before each kirtan.
Hare Krishna.
Now that we have this nice altar for the instruments, perhaps we can institute this sometimes. The kirtan became so much ecstatic. Devotees were dancing and dancing and dancing in ecstasy, loudly chanting the holy name. The devotees were feeling such intense separation from Lord Chaitanya and his devotees during this beautiful kirtan that it was becoming unbearable. And then right at the very peak of the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya appeared right amongst them. And there was Nityananda Prabhu and all of the associates of the Lord. Janava Devi was just in ecstasy to see her beloved Lord and Master Nityananda Prabhu dancing in front of her. Achyutananda was just overwhelmed with bliss to see his beloved father, Advaitacharya, dancing in front of him. Sripati, Sri Nidhi, the brothers of Srivas, they saw his brother back, smiling, blissfully dancing. And there was Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the great golden dancer of Navadvip. They danced for hours and hours and hours with the devotees, smiling and glancing with great mercy upon all. And the devotees were dancing along with them. And then everything disappeared. And all the devotees fell to the ground in separation. They didn't know what to do. But Janava Devi, she said, now it's time to offer colored powders to the deities because today is holy. So they did like that. And after offering to the deities, then they all started very lovingly, lovingly sprinkling it on each other. Hare Krishna. This festival was so glorious. The next day, Janava Devi, personally, although she was the acharya for all the Vaishnavas, she wanted to cook for each of them. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, they and their disciples were just assisting her in so many ways. She cooked a magnificent feast. And then she personally served each devotee. And after she served, the devotee said, please, Mataji, you are our acharya, please take prasad. She said, no, first I must serve all the servants. She served with her own loving hands all the servants. And then Srinivas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur said, we are feeling very great
unhappiness in our heart until you take prasad, Mataji. Please take.
All right, then I will take. She went to a secluded place and took prasad. The first Gaur Purnima festival was celebrated in Khetri by the great love and affection of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Then all the devotees started leaving for their respective preaching zones. One day, Narottam Das Thakur, with his most intimate friend, who was a disciple of Srinivasacharya, his name was Ramchandra Kaviraj. Srinivasacharya told his disciple that you should always be there in the service of Narottam Das Thakur. And they became, it is explained in the biographies, that they were truly like one soul in two bodies. They loved each other so dearly. One day, they went to the river Ganges to take a bath. Actually, what happened? I don't have so much time. But when they were going for their bath,
please. Sit here.
Haridas Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath.
We need this for camera, for Sony TV, not for me.
We don't know what is camera, we only know you. Haribo. So, one day, they saw two young Brahmin boys, and they were herding some goats, little baby goats, buffaloes, and sheep. So Narottam Das Thakur said to Ramchandra Kaviraj that these boys, they look like they are very good candidates for devotional service. So Ramchandra Kaviraj, on Narottam Das Thakur's instruction, started preaching Bhagavad Katha. And the boys became very attracted. So they came and started listening. And then they fell at the lotus feet of Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur and said, "This, you must be the famous Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj we heard about." "Yes? And what is your name?" "Our names is Hari Ram and Ramakrishna. And our father's name is Shivai Acharya. He's a very wealthy, powerful man. He worships goddess Bhavani, Durga Devi. And at this time of the year, around the time of Vijayadashami, he has big, big pujas, where he sacrifices hundreds and hundreds of goats, sheep, and buffaloes to Goddess Bhavani. And he has sent us, his sons, to purchase all these little animals to bring back across the river to be offered to Bhavani. But now that we've heard Srimad Bhagavatam from you, we understand that this is not good." So the two little boys sent all their assistants and servants. They said, "You go back to our father with the boats. You keep all the little animals with us." So they all went home. And by the influence of Narottam Das Thakur, they let all the animals go. Hare Krishna. And then they went back to Khetri Gram. And they heard this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. They learned about kirtan, and then they begged for initiation. Ramchandra Kaviraj personally initiated Hari Ram, and Narottam Das Thakur initiated Ramakrishna.
They stayed with them for many days, just hearing the philosophy of Rupa Goswami, worshipping the deities, and dancing to the kirtans of the holy name. After some days, they said, actually, we should go back and tell our father what's happening. So Narottam Das Thakur said, yes, yes, you go back. Their father's physician was a very, very... He was like almost not only a physician, but he was his father's dear friend. His name was Balaram. And they came back. And Hari Ram and Ramakrishna, young Brahmins, they explained to Balaram everything that Narottam Das Thakur said to them. He was so happy. He immediately started chanting the holy names all day and preaching Bhagavad philosophy. When this came to the notice of the father, he was furious. When these little boys came before him, he was enraged. His anger was like fire. He started screaming at them, "You nonsense rascals! You are my children. You are disgracing our whole family's name. What is this? You have become Vaishnavas? Do you have the dare? Do you have the nerve to be so offensive that you think that a Vaishnav could compare to a Brahmin? All of my worship to Goddess Bhavani you have spoiled? You will both go to hell for your offense to the goddess. You have betrayed her, and you have betrayed Brahminical principles to be a sentimental Vaishnava? Your life is ruined. You are a disgrace. You will suffer in hell. You demand Narottam. You demand him to come here and debate with my pundits and let them expose him to see what an ignorant fool he is. Hare Krishna. When he blasphemed Gurudev like that, little Hari Ram and Ram Krishna were, they became angry like fire on their father. They said, "Don't you ever speak like this about Gurudev. Bring all your pundits. My Guru Maharaj doesn't have to waste time. We will debate with them." "You will debate with them." "Yes, bring them. We will debate. Bring them." Father said, "You come with me." He brought them into the assembly of the pundits. "Now, you teach my child what is real, what is reality, what is the heritage of Brahmins, what is the truth." So they challenged everything they said just from those few days with Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. They were so learned in the scriptures, so empowered. They just prayed to their Guru Maharaj's lotus feet, "Please empower us to save your good name and fame." After a matter of minutes, the pundits completely admitted defeat. That these Vaishnavas are extraordinary. They turned to Shivayacharya and said, "We cannot defeat your sons. They are too learned, and everything they're saying is true." Shivayacharya became doubly furious. It was intolerable to him. He called the greatest Digvijay pundit of the time from Mithila. His name was Murari. Called him all the way down, paid him huge sums of money to debate with his two sons. On the way, Balaram, who was his own friend, who was converted by his sons, he debated with Murari. Murari had never lost an argument in his life. He was so wealthy. He used to travel with processions. After he lost, he came to Shivayacharya and said, these Vaishnavas are undefeatable. They are supported by the highest conclusions of the Vedas. He was so ashamed. He gave away, this Murari gave away all his wealth. He was too ashamed to even ever go back to Mithila for the rest of his life. He became a completely unknown beggar. When Shivayacharya saw this, there was no one else he could turn to. He was in total disgrace. His heart was miserable. And yet his sons were just all day long just dancing blissfully, chanting the holy name. He was so miserable, he was on the verge of death. At that time, he realized the glory of Narottam Das Thakur and begged forgiveness from his sons and all the Vaishnavas. In fact, Goddess Bhavani appeared to him and told him, if you don't get forgiveness, you see what I will do. So his whole heart was transformed. Meanwhile, there was a town which was considered to be a great place of learned scholars. It was called Gamvila. That was where the Ganges flowed. And the king of all the scholars there was named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He was very learned and highly respected. But he was very antagonistic and critical toward Vaishnavas. But he was very renounced and detached. He heard about this Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. He was shocked. He was thinking, just by hearing the story of how these two children, just by their association with Narottam Das Thakur, became so illustrious, effulgent, so learned, and so convinced. One day, Hari Ram and Ram Krishna came to that place to take bath. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was thinking that I have to surrender to this Narottam Das Thakur. But I'm so low, I'm so fallen, I'm so offensive, how can I even approach him? Then Narottam Das Thakur, the night before, appeared to him in a dream. And he fell at the lotus feet of Narottam, and Narottam said, tomorrow I will come, and I will accept you as my servant. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, when he saw Ramakrishna and and his brother Hari Ram, he went up to them and said, is there any possibility that I could meet your spiritual master? And just at that moment, Narottam Das Thakur and Gram Chandra Kaviraj came to take their baths. So Hari Ram said, this is Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He wants to meet you. Narottam Das Thakur picked him up and embraced him. Ganga Narayan was weeping, crying, that I've spoiled my whole life in these useless, mundane forms of scholarship.
I want to surrender to you. Please give me initiation. Narottam Das Thakur told him, the day after tomorrow I'm coming to Khetarigram. You should meet me there. There he brought him before the deity of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There Narottam Das Thakur and his associates began kirtan. And the greatest of all the scholars of the time, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, found himself with his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy name. Narottam Das Thakur gave him initiation. He stayed with Narottam Das Thakur, studying the scriptures from him. This became such a thunderbolt of an experience for the caste Brahmins. This is terrible. The most learned Brahmin of the highest caste has taken an initiation from a Shudra. Is this what Vaishnavism is all about? The ruination of our whole Varnashram system? They were criticizing, they were blaspheming. There was a nearby king of the name Narasingha. And the scholars, they all approached him. They said, you are king? It is the first and foremost duty of a king to uphold the principles of Dharma. Do you know what's happening right under your eyes? The destruction of the whole Varnashram system. There is a Sudra of the name Narottam who is giving initiation to Brahmins by birth. It must be stopped. You must defend the principles of religion. Otherwise, what kind of a king are you? So, Maharaj Narasingha sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur. Why are you doing like this? Narottam Das Thakur said, because this is what I'm supposed to do. Brahman is by quality. Brahman is not by birth. The ultimate goal of life is not to be a Brahman. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masacha. The topmost human being is he who surrenders to Krishna. Aho bata svapachato gariyam. If one takes the name of Krishna, if he was born of chandala, birth, he's better than the greatest of Brahmins and he can be the guru for the whole world. So the king was thinking, he's very intelligent, this Narottam. But the pandits were saying, no, he must be defeated. You must punish him. So Narasingha said, okay, you bring your best pandits and I'll go with you and let's have a debate with him. So they canvassed Rup Narayan. Digvijay Pandit. He never lost a debate except to Jiva Goswami. But he wasn't converted, he just became angry. So the king had a procession. He was on his palanquin, and all the greatest Brahmin scholars and pundits from his whole kingdom were all very proudly dressed very nicely. They had their servants carrying all their scriptures for reference on their way to Khetarigram. The news came. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were thinking, why should our Guru Maharaj be bothered with these people? So what they did is a village just outside of Khetarigram. On the side of the road, they disguise themselves. Ramchandra Kaviraj dressed himself like a simple merchant. selling clay pots. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti disguised himself as a simple merchant selling betel leaves and betel nuts, sitting on the ground, little cloth, they had their betel nuts and their little clay pots.
The scholars, as they were passing, they told their servants,
"Huh, das?
Buy me some betel nuts."
So the dasas went to buy betel nuts. And they said, "How much is this betel nut?" And they answered in perfect Sanskriti, "What is this?" Since when do simple merchants on this side of the road give their answers with Sanskrit slokas? They were composing slokas in perfect Sanskrit rhythm and rhyme to tell the price of the betel nuts. And they said, "What are you coming for?" "Oh, we are with our big pundits and the king. They're coming to debate with Narottam Das Thakur." "Huh? They're coming to debate with Narottam Das? They're just a bunch of ignorant fools. Tell them I said that." They said it in Sanskrit. I don't know how to say it in Sanskrit. So they went back to the pundits and said, "You see that betel nut seller and that clay pot seller? He just said that you're ignorant fools and that you have no right to even enter into Khetri, to even see the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. In fact, they said they want to challenge you to a debate." The news came to the king and Rup Narayan. So this is very interesting. So send your Rup Narayan, the king said, send your pundits to debate with them. The most learned scholars of the kingdom started debating against these two merchants. They were totally annihilated, logically, philosophically, and shastically, in a matter of minutes. They just held their heads down in total defeat. The king said to Rup Narayan, "If this is what the simple betel nut seller disciples of Narottam Das Thakur has done to your greatest scholars, are you sure you want to debate with Narottam Das Thakur?" "If you want my opinion, I think we should surrender to his lotus feet." And Rup Narayan said, "Yes, I think that's the only choice we have." Meanwhile, the main pundit of all of them who was defeated, he was just completely devastated in his heart. So Rup Narayan and Narasingha, the king, they were very much embarrassed because they came to destroy the name of Narottam Das Thakur. They came toward the temple and the devotees greeted them very respectfully and nicely and brought them before Narottam Das Thakur, and they were weeping and crying in shame. Narottam Das Thakur picked them up and embraced them. And then the king said, "What about these other pundits that were defeated? Their life is totally disgraced. They don't know what to do. They should also surrender to you." The king instructed them, "Surrender." And they came before Narottam just begging forgiveness, and he lifted each one up and embraced them with such respect and humility and compassion. He gave initiation to all of them. He kept them there for some time and instructed them. Actually, he had his disciples do most of the instructing. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj
They appeared.
Ah, the betel nut seller in pottery.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they instructed them in the science of the six Goswamis' literatures. And soon they were all dancing together in front of the deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, blissfully chanting the holy name. In that area of Kethuri Gram, it was infamous for many dacoits, robbers, murderers, and thieves. Yesterday morning, we spoke the story about Chandra Rai. He was the king of criminals. He was the cruelest of the cruel. Yamaraj and Chitragupta, his secretary, declared that they were only to be compared to Jagai and Madhai, Chandra Rai and his brother Santosh. They were robbing, they were, every day they were murdering Brahmins, killing cows, eating flesh. They had armies, Jagai and Madhai, they were just themselves, but these men had armies. They would invade village after village and conquer it and just rape the women and steal the daughters and the wives and plunder all the property. But due to his sinful karma, he was haunted by a Brahmin ghost. It was a terrible situation. But ultimately, Narottam Das Thakur came to his home and embraced him and gave him Krishna Nam and told him the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chandra Rai became more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. He became the greatest Vaishnava. And then he was put in prison. And he was tortured. But he was happy. He accepted it as God's mercy. I deserve worse. You see, it's not that devotees think because now I'm a devotee, materially I should be happy. A sincere devotee understands, let whatever happens happen, but let me remain faithful to the service of Lord Krishna. So Chandra Rai endured all difficulties and just went on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord with faith in his guru. Ultimately, he melted the heart of his persecutors who released him. Now all the other dacoits of the whole country around, they were all under the command of Chandra Rai. So one time, a big gang of hundreds of murderers came to report their activities to their leader. Where is Chandra Rai? He's in Kethuri Gram. They went to Kethuri Gram. They were asking around, do you know where Chandra Rai is? They said, oh, Prabhu, Chandra Rai Prabhu. But is this some new name he has? Where is he? He's in the temple. Chandra Rai? In the temple? Impossible. So they went to the temple. And when they got to the temple, what did they see? They saw kirtan going on. And there was Chandra Rai, the most demoniac, cruel killer. He was dressed in a dhoti and a chadar. He had tilak on 12 parts of his body, and he had folded hands at one minute, and they saw tears of love and humility pouring out of his eyes as his arms were raised, and he was gracefully dancing while chanting Krishna's holy name. They were bewildered. What's happened to Chandra Rai? And then Chandra Rai saw them and came out and started offering obeisances to them. He used to just give us orders and beat us. Now he's offering obeisances. Gave them prasad. And then he started preaching to them that you should give up all these sinful activities, you should become humble, you should serve Vaishnavas, you should be compassionate to every living being, you should chant Hare Krishna. And he preached to them in such a way that he melted their hearts. And all the dacoits, within a matter of days, completely transformed their lives and took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. Soon the news spread to other dacoits. Narottam Das Thakur did not discriminate. To the greatest learned scholars, to the criminals, he transformed all their hearts and gave them Krishna Bhakti. And it's very late. But in conclusion, when we hear or sing the beautiful bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, we should, in a very personal way, recognize from whose heart these prayers is coming from. These bhajans written by Narottam Das Thakur that we sing every day is actually the expression of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own love for all of us coming through his dear devotee to teach us the way to achieve pure devotional service. Thank you very much.